Welcome to this special edition of the Poetry Break. Today we'll be featuring Steve Scafidi, one of America's finest poets, who lives right here in the heart of Appalachia in West Virginia. We catch up to Steve as he was a part of the ongoing Wheeling Poetry Series. You'll hear Steve reading some of his poems, as well as bits and pieces of a conversation Steve and I had together after his reading.
Song for Sunday morning. The dolphin in the woods leaps from tree to tree, and his only wind is only the yellow of poplar leaves and the blue of September where the little windows are. Every day our fathers live, they breathe the air that was something else in another time. If the atom is to be believed, we all shift and change. What was the river becomes the cloud. What we wanted to say, we never could. It was obvious. It was hidden, like the dolphin in the woods.
I'm always getting asked these kinds of questions, Steve, but how did you come to writing poetry? Was it a childhood obsession? Did you have some kind of quasi-religious transformation as an adult? Or just that one professor that finally just turned you on and you said, I've got to do this?
Those all sound great. I think when I was a teenager, I think I was starved for something like magnificence. And I found it in reading aloud some Walt Whitman one evening. And I never quit all summer reading his Leaves of Grass. And it is a kind of, at the time I remember thinking to myself, my life is changing here, but this is not a eureka moment. This is just how life moves. And I remember thinking that way. Don't make a big deal out of this. Just follow the thread of it. And I did, and I've never quit. And I've been reading poems aloud of others and quietly to myself. I've been writing poems for 30 years now, and I've worked as a teacher, and though I make my money as a cabinet maker mostly, but I've never let go of that desire for something magnificent and something true.
It's a poem that I wrote for my grandmother, who was born in the 19th century. She was born in the 1890s, and she lived with us, and I had a bunk bed, and I slept on the top bunk, and she slept on the bottom bunk my whole childhood. And I come from a very loud, pointy family, and she was very quiet and listened to me, and we were very good buddies. And so when she died, I thought I wanted to write a poem that could somehow provide a meeting place where I could talk to her again. This poem is called This Page. If I only wrote about what I knew, as once I was told to, this blank page would stand forever as an example of honesty and candor, a masterpiece of my reserve and silence. Well, the conditional belongs to the dead. My grandmother often said a tree grows quietly in a meadow in the old country in my head. My grandmother is sitting with a book propped on her knees below a sycamore tree in a field of harvested soybean, and the black birds fluttering outside my window peck at the ground. If only I weren't going to run outside stomping my feet to chase them back into the trees. If only they would turn suddenly and fly toward me wildly different with knowing that the fiction we share, this mountain air, this life we cling to, is only real in the sense it is ours now, but no more beloved than the other, where my grandmother lies on the ground, looking at the sun through the trellis of sycamore leaves coming in this spring, like dreams, little sloops on the bay of that place the dead go when they come away from here, tired, restless, with a bag of oranges, a book, a change of clothes. If only she would turn to the page where I am writing this. It's all I know. Hello there. How to do. Lonesome, lonesome, and how are you?
is there anything in the disciplines that you employ as a cabinet maker, as a woodworker, that have any, I don't know, spillover or parallels to your work on the page?
I think I just wrote a book. I had two books come out last year, and one of them is a book of poems about Abraham Lincoln. And I told a friend of mine in the shop, I said, I'm writing a magical biography of Abraham Lincoln. And he said, what is that? Does that mean you're making it up? And I said, yes, that's what it means. And in fact, I actually use stories that I hear from the shop, and I put them into the life of Abraham Lincoln. So, yeah, it's maybe there are other words than magical and biography, but I've relied on the people I work with more than the craft, I think, to sustain me as a writer in some ways.
This is called Lines for a Doorway, which I've always wanted to frame this poem and put it by my front door. What's wrong with me? I don't know. I haven't done it yet. Maybe I'll go home tomorrow and do that. Lines for a Doorway. The Shenandoah disappears where it converges in the flow of the Potomac 10 miles from here. And nothing Shakespeare ever said sticks in my ear like, hello, my love, when I get home. So pity the beauty of art. Pity the monument to grace a river is as it goes, slowly, without forethought, to the green grave of the sea. And pity the moon dented by the white boots of astronauts. And look at the sun rolling overhead like a wheel. And wherever we go after death is okay with me, as long as death comes too, eventually. And the sentimental X's crossed over the eyes of everyone who has already lived imply an alphabet that spells nothing but sorrow, which is exactly why, when I get home, ruined from work, and the moon disintegrates from the light friction of its voyage in the cold dark of space, she says, hello there, my love, and touches my face.
Again, this has been a special edition of the Poetry Break featuring Steve Scafidi. I'm Mark Harshman. Thank you for listening. Wishing you good words in the air and on the page.